Happy Election Day, everyone in the United States of America. Welcome into Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Hey, Mr. Berger. And, we hear some
hot audio. We're hearing you to the show.
Yeah, we hear some hot audio here. But anyway, hey, welcome in. We've got a very busy show for you on this Election Day, Tuesday, November 4th. We're going to talk about the election. We're going to talk about why no one seemed to work harder to elect Democrats than Republicans in Washington, D.C. We're also going to talk about President Trump saying no to Ukraine, no Tomahawk missiles going into Ukraine.
We're also going to talk about Israel's PR crisis, how they are trying to pretend that their soldiers do not commit human rights abuse, have not done this for decades against Palestinians. They do. And in fact, we now have video evidence, and it's incredibly disturbing. I am fairly sure this is being suppressed on social media. Let me know if you see a conversation about this great video. It's horrid. I find it ostensibly missing. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
For sure. Let us know in the comments. We're also going to talk about that Tyler Robinson hearing and trial. Like, has the FBI already messed this up from the very beginning? We're going to examine with a lawyer who says this thing has holes you could drive trucks through. We're going to talk about that on today's show. But yeah, let's just talk about a little bit here off the top of just about the election day today. So I don't know if you see these new Kalashi numbers just came out right now showing a 75% chance that Democrats sweep most of the big important races across the country. 75%. Like I said off the top, no one worked harder to elect Democrats during this election day than Republicans in Washington, D.C. Think about this. A lot of races are probably going to lose big for Republicans. President Trump just a short time ago posted a message on Truth Social basically saying that he thinks Democrats are going to win big. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of coming out in front of this ahead of time. Now, very often, of course, midterm elections during a presidential, during a presidency tends to always go to the other party.
Yes.
As a response. However, this is big. I mean, you promised us no involvement in foreign wars. You were going to stop sending our tax dollars overseas. You're going to shrink the size of government.
Shrink the size of government. Yeah, Elon Musk is out. We don't really have a shrinking of the government, even though Doge is now continuing to brag about things that they've cut, like DEI programs and whatnot. I mean, those things seem to be sort of cursory to the things that we wanted the most, which was a balanced budget. No more inflation of the U.S. dollar based on spending abroad. And now we're sending money to Argentina. So, you know, I mean, the old adage seems to be holding true is that Democrats cause the problems, but Republicans do not solve them. So in the 10 months or so that Republicans have been in power, they've been armpit farting, basically.
Epstein files, anyone?
Oh, yeah. Full disclosure.
If you ask questions.
Right.
If you ask questions about it, then you're anti-American. You're not America first. If you ask questions about who killed Charlie Kirk, like, what's that about? No, you're an anti-Semite. You're not America first. So a lot of America first people, I think, are sitting out this election. Mm-hmm. I know Candace Owens said she's done. Until she gets answers on Charlie Kirk, she's not lifting a finger for any of these people. You have Cash Patel right now, the head of the FBI, flying to China. The hell does the FBI need to go to China for?
Right.
And South Korea and Japan. Go ahead, David or Philip.
Yeah, I was going to say, like on Reddit, one of the big sticking points that a lot of people are up in arms about, and it's continually to grow, is the optics of while SNAP benefits have been suspended, they're building a $300 million ballroom. And that's just not good optics.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it is not funded by the government. So, I mean, but again,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Who cares, the optics. Right? It's the same thing with Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War telling Mary Todd, like, we're not changing the drapes right now in the White House. Like, mm-hmm. Stop buying stuff. Stop buying tables. Stop buying chairs. You know, I mean, we're in the middle of a civil war right now.
I mean, the thing is, people, if you're really upset about the White House, you need to be upset about Argentina. You need to be upset about bombing in Venezuela. You need to be upset about foreign wars first. Like the White House thing, you're being manipulated by your algorithm. Put that aside and think about where the money is actually going. That is a theft from the American people. I can't stand that because I think that, again, that's such an algorithm bait. It's catnip for your algorithm, and it's a distraction. Who gives a crap, right? Obama built a basketball hoop. Who cares? We need to be focused on what is actually stealing from us.
So we're going to talk all about that. We're going to talk about Israel's big PR crisis in a moment. We're going to talk about the Ukraine war. That was another promise. It was supposed to be over on day one. Remember that within 24 hours. That's still going. And Trump is sending a drone team to Ukraine next week. Yeah, to start so we can really facilitate the amount of drones that are going into Ukraine so they can kill more civilians, which they've been doing over the past 24 hours. So we'll get to all of that. But first...
First, we want to tell you about our friends over at Cowboy Colostrum, because if you are a mammal and you've nursed before like I have, you know what colostrum is. It is the first milk that you produce that has... basically all the good stuff you need. It's a probiotic, it's a prebiotic, it's packed full of vitamins and minerals. We call it liquid gold if you've ever, again, nursed. When you see that, you know that your baby is getting a full-on multivitamin for vitality. Well, did you know that you can benefit from this even as an adult? You don't have to be nursing. You can take a supplement called Cowboy Colostrum. It is a bovine, that means cow colostrum, that's available in the United States. It's made 100% from grass-fed cows. And unlike other colostrum brands, Cowboy Colostrum is sourced from the first milking of U.S. grass-fed cows, and they only collect the surplus after the babies have had their fill. So again, it's great for hair growth, skin vitality, your gut health, a probiotic, a prebiotic. You can use it in all different manners. I like to put some in my yogurt, and you can use different flavors as well. There's a chocolate, a vanilla, a strawberry. You can put it in your coffee and your smoothie. So for a limited time, our listeners get up to 25% off their entire order when you go to cowboycolostrum.com/redacted news. Use the code redacted news at checkout. That's 25% off when you use the code redacted news. One more time, that's cowboycolostrum.com/redacted news. Well, this story of IDF soldiers raping and beating a prisoner, a Palestinian, is being suppressed. I'm sure of it, because under normal circumstances, before the algorithm was perverted to tell me to support Israel, these are the types of stories I would see regularly, because I think independent thinking Americans are upset that this is happening with our tax dollars support. Well, we're going to talk about it. It's absolutely horrible. Please share it and speak about it, because again, we're supporting this on behalf of our greatest ally. Israel's in a full panic over a leaked video showing IDF soldiers sexually abusing a Palestinian prisoner. I'm not going to show it to you. I linked it in the newsletter. It's as upsetting as you can imagine. They basically point this guy out, come over here, they use their shields, and they start doing what I just said. It's too upsetting to continually repeat. He's blindfolded and then abused in this manner. Now, instead of addressing the horror of the act, which is not new, this has been going on to Palestinian hostages for decades. What Prime Minister Netanyahu worried about is that it's the most serious public relations attack Israel has experienced since its founding. On Friday, this was leaked. Now, we knew about this last year because these soldiers were indicted. It's the video that's new, and it's the fact that Israel's IDF top military lawyer, her name is Yefat Tomer Yerushalmi, admitted to authorizing the video's release, and she has resigned. She has since been arrested. Now, I'll admit I don't quite understand her logic. I read her letter admitting this. She said she did this to counter propaganda, that the IDF is unethical. I don't get that.
Let me share some rape videos of our IDF soldiers. Like, what does that mean? Like, okay.
Maybe
it's a counter propaganda.
We're going to talk to a guest about this to see if we can figure that out.
Good idea.
Now, last year when these soldiers were indicted, which almost never happens when there are reports of prisoner abuse in Israel, there were riots. These people were defending the IDF soldiers' rights to do this. They were rioting against punishment for these soldiers. Again, what's horrible is that this is not new to anyone who has studied the IDF's practice of administrative detention. They hold people without charge or trial indefinitely. Many of these people who, if they do get out, have reported sexual assault, starvation, beatings, all while in Israeli custody. We know this. We have known this. It is impossible to not know this. Joining us to discuss is Harrison Berger from Dropsite News. Thank you so much for joining us. It's really a pleasure to see you.
They've been all over the story, by the way, Dropsite News, I should point out. Yeah.
First of all, do you agree with my assessment? And this is just anecdotal, but I feel that it's been suppressed. What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree with you. And it's measurable. It has been suppressed on TikTok, where Erica Mindell, the IDF, former IDF instructor, or I guess that doesn't really make a difference anyways, she's the hate speech czar. And her job is to remove content that's exactly like this, that portrays Israel in a bad light. The funny thing, or I guess it's not really funny, but darkly ironic about these videos is that they're all released by Israelis themselves. So you have this video like this one of Stay TMN prison depicting a rape that occurred, just one of many, because there are many. They've been documented in reports like Beth Selam's Welcome to Hell that came out in August of last year, showing these Israeli soldiers engaging in this sort of rape of Palestinian detainees. And so those videos are getting out, people my age are seeing them, and it is causing this PR crisis for Israel. So you can bet that they're censoring it on X, on TikTok, but also on Meta, where they have organizations like Cyberwell, which are these Israeli government-funded groups staffed by Israeli military intelligence officials to purge people's timelines and For You page of this type of material that is so deeply radicalizing. Because when this sort of stuff comes out, everyone can see exactly the true face of Israeli society. This is who they are. As you said, nobody's been punished for it. The only people or the only person who has been punished for this rape incident is the whistleblower, showing just how committed this society is to you know, repressing the Palestinians and treating them without any human dignity whatsoever.
I mean, this goes very, raping prisoners. I mean, I remember the outrage in the United States around Abu Ghraib, the Abu Ghraib prison scandal in Iraq. You remember 11 U.S. soldiers were court-martialed for the abuse, like the electrification of the prisoners in Iraq. I don't know if there was any sexual abuse. I forget. But you're like raping these prisoners and it's quiet. And instead, Benjamin Netanyahu says they have a PR problem. Like, instead of holding these soldiers accountable, court martials, where's the outrage? It doesn't seem like there's any kind of outrage at all.
Well, I don't need to explain it to both of you, because both of you understand very well that the Israelis live under exceptional rules. They the rules that apply to us do not apply to Israelis. The United States government has made clear of that, and the Israeli government has a well-funded apparatus and lobby to make sure that that maintains the status quo, that the Israelis are able to treat Palestinians however they want, and increasingly Americans too, because the thing that we have to remember that's taking place in the background of all of this is the increased settler violence, which is even going after Americans. You have Americans, like, you know, 16-year-old Americans who are being held hostage by Israel in these Israeli torture and rape prisons with no charges whatsoever. You have Americans like journalists who are Jewish, in fact, too, like Jasper Nathaniel, who contributes to Dropsite News, being chased by Zionist thugs and hoodlums in the West Bank, you know, beating up old women with giant clubs and giving them brain hemorrhages. This is what's going on in the West Bank, and we have a state of exception for them. They're allowed to do whatever they want to Palestinians and increasingly Americans, too. It's part of what Tucker Carlson calls the ongoing humiliation ritual, that we can just give Israel all of our money. If you criticize any of that, you know, the unconditional support that we have for this foreign government, then you're an anti-Semite, of course. So you just have to give them all this money and they could do whatever they want to you. You can go over there and they can spit on you if you're Christian, or attack you in the West Bank if you're trying to help Palestinians pick olives.
Can I ask you a question, though? What's troubling to me on a whole other level, just the rape part of it, is they think of Palestinians as subhuman, right? Like dogs, animals. I mean, they've said it publicly. This isn't me saying it. This is their view of Palestinians. So why is it okay for them to have intercourse with them, impregnate them?
I can't even begin to comment on the psychology of the average Israeli, because it's obviously incredibly warped. Remember, just look at what they're doing in Gaza. This is a conscript army, which means that the behavior or how they behave in Gaza is actually very reflective of their society's values. And I'm sure you've seen all these videos of these Israeli soldiers going into the homes in Gaza before, you know, they explode them, of course, and trying on all the lingerie of you know, women, and even, you know, underwear of young girls. That there's kind of a deranged perversion that's going on here. I can't put my finger in it on it, and I don't even want to know what that's all about. But it is shocking to watch, and it is radicalizing, which is, you know, as we started talking about, why all of this is being suppressed and censored on social media.
Can you follow this Major General's logic that releasing this would have been good for the IDF? I guess I tried to understand her letter. I think what she's saying is we need to show the world that we prosecute this. We see that it's bad, and we are going to prosecute this, even as these men assert their innocence and that they will continue to fight. Do you think that's what she said, that she actually did it because she believes in Israel? She's not one of those
whistleblowers.
Like, you know, that I don't know if you know the story of Mordecai Vanunu, who has been imprisoned for 3 decades for telling the world about Israel's nuclear program. And they threw him in jail, and they will not let him leave the country, even though he sought asylum. He actually wanted the best for everybody. I don't think that's what I don't understand. Can you explain?
I mean, look, I think on just a human level, it is true, as you say, that the Israelis generally, by and large, do view the Palestinians as Untermenschen, as subhuman. And so, you know, they might not necessarily care, you know, if a Palestinian is being raped. In fact, they've now treated the rapist, he's unmasked himself, one of them. He's now a national hero. He's going across Israeli TV on a press tour, being honored for what he did. Mm-hmm. I do think that to getting at the motivations of this general, there is a strain in Israel. I do think it's a minority. And I know some of these Israelis who consider themselves to be pacifists. But they're not the sort of pacifists that we would think of in the United States, like anti-interventionist Code Pink or, you know, Pat Buchanan or something like that. It was best illustrated by the hostage marches that were held, you know, over the course of several months, which is that their argument was that we need to stop the genocide in Gaza because it's making us look too bad and we rely on the support of Western democracies to function. So I think that people like her, just to take a wild guess, they probably have an understanding of how terrible this PR is for Israel, and want to assert that there's some sort of liberal Zionism left that's worth saving. And so therefore, it makes Israel seem more attractive that there's these types of whistleblowers like her with a conscience. That's my guess at it, but I don't find it credible at all.
Yul Levera in our chat room says, Natalie has a point, trying to express the whistleblower thought they were reforming the ruthlessness of these people.
Perhaps, yeah, if they are in fact
maybe
brought to justice, which, you know, my confidence is
probably going on a speaking tour. They'll be low. Celebrated. Again, I come back to Abu Ghraib, where, like, 10 years in prison for American soldiers who were abusing prisoners. Like, we just don't tolerate that in the United States of America. But we're a different country. We have different ideals in the United States than they do in Israel, for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Please follow Dropsite News. You guys are doing a really great job. It's always a pleasure to have you.
And by the way, I saw you guys got censored. So now TikTok, I saw Ryan post that you guys are now being censored at Dropsite News because on TikTok, because they don't want to get this information out there. So yeah, it's not a surprise at all to you, is it?
No, the TikTok, and, you know, even when I was working with Glenn Greenwald on System Update, we used to get censored all the time because this pro-Israel censorship apparatus has been in place long before even Larry Ellison took control of it just a few weeks ago. As I mentioned, this organization like Cyberwell has been an official content moderation partner of each of these social media platforms. So Instagram, and including Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok and X as well. Even though Elon Musk says that, you know, there's no censorship on X, there absolutely is. And it's pro-Israel censorship and everyone can see it. And so Dropsite News has been a victim of this or a target of it. Glenn has been a target of it. My personal accounts have been target of it. If you say anything bad about Israel or just critical of our country's unconditional support for that foreign government, that foreign protectorate, you pretty much can guarantee that you're going to get censored nowadays. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is.
Yep. Yeah, someone in the chat room's like, yeah, but all this is like Qatari propaganda, right? So buy that official line.
Oh, well, whatever. Their check is Harrison. Late. I mean, if they're paying us for this, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So. Harrison, great to see you. Thank you so much. Thanks for your great work on this, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Ukraine. President Trump saying, I'm not going to send Tomahawks, but I might change my mind. I don't know. Zelensky, though, over the past 24 hours coming out and saying he has not seen any kind of peace plan from Europe at all. And Russia is saying Europe is actively preparing to go to war against Russia. So we could be at a very pivotal moment, as Russia says we are at a tipping point moment we've not seen since World War II right now. And really, no one's talking about it. But our next guest is, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Soul and their out-of-office line of products. I'm a huge fan of this. I don't have to tell you. I've told you many times how much I love this. Just go to GetSoul.com, get 30% off your order. Now, you know, if you don't want to drink alcohol, I mean, sales of alcohol have plummeted across the United States because people just don't want to feel like crap the next day. You know, you maybe want to go out and have a drink occasionally. Okay, fine. But for the most part, people just don't want to feel like crap. And when they're getting together with friends, they don't want the whole next day ruined as a result of it. That's where Soul comes in. Soul's out-of-office gummies and their out-of-office beverages help you unwind. No amount of hangovers the next day, nothing like that. It's just the perfect balance of CBD and THC to ease yourself into a nice restful night and just have a perfect just chill night. Soul is a wellness brand that believes feeling good should be fun and easy. Soul specializes in delicious hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. They have a very gentle 1.5 milligram microdose to their newest 15 milligram gummy for a more elevated experience. And if you like the out-of-office gummies, try out their out-of-office beverages. They're fantastic. They're alcohol-free. It's perfect for winding down on the couch or socializing with friends. And I was talking to a friend the other night. He just sold his company, or one of his companies, for like $80 million. And he was saying over the past year, as he's gotten into his late 40s, he's found it harder to get in like good REM sleep. He started using some of those gummies, like a small dose. And he tracks his sleep, and he was noticing that his REM sleep has increased by an hour per night just by doing it. So he's a big believer in it. Frankly, Soul should use that as part of their marketing, for crying out loud. I think it's great. Anyway, bring on the good vibes.
Myself.
Who said this? David?
I just got some.
You love it?
Yeah, I drink it. I actually have been drinking it before bed.
Yeah, knocked you out. Yeah. Very nice. So check it out today. Try yourself some Soul right now. Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to getsoul.com. Use the code redacted. That's getsoul.com, promo code redacted for 30% off right now. Well, Ukraine is being destroyed, and there is no end in sight for the war in Ukraine. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of the Ukrainian dictator, Vladimir Zelensky. He now says he's not seen any European plan to end this war. Nothing. He's heard rumors about peace plans, but nothing from his European friends. I guess the Macrons are too busy worrying about her husband's penis to worry about peace in Ukraine. So in other words, keep fighting. Just keep dying. Destroy an entire generation of young men, which is what you're doing in Ukraine. Of course, Ukraine will cease to exist as a country. While President Trump is saying no to Tomahawk missiles right now in Ukraine, P.S., we don't have enough for ourselves. That's the real story here. We don't have enough for the United States, but we're not going to send them to Ukraine. But however, the United States is happy to meet in Ukraine next week to iron out all of our new drone plans that we're going to be sending to Ukraine. That's happening next week. Trump is sending a drone team to Ukraine to announce and iron out the details of this plan. Trump has a drone team? Okay. Meanwhile,
a drone team to spare?
Right. Like, okay, we're going to send our drone team to Ukraine?
Oh, wait till you see what they're doing with drones in just a second.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
you'll be so glad.
Yeah, exactly. So overnight, a new round of drone strikes inside of Russian territory in the Belgorod region. Over 120 drone attacks in that area, targeting civilians, something they love to do. I'm not sure why, like, Ukrainians love to target civilians. They've been doing it for about 10 years or longer in the Donbas region, in Donetsk, in those areas. Hitting schools, hitting parks, hitting apartment complexes, no strategic or military value other than terrorism. So this video surfaced on Monday of a Russian civilian an older man walking his dog with a white flag. You can see the drone flying right in front of him. He's saying, hey, I'm just walking my dog. And, well, Ukraine decides to kill him anyway. We blurted out. You can see really the drone just hovering there and killing him regardless.
Oh, it's horrible. And then this gentleman comes up. He crosses himself. He looks at his just kinsman as he's dying there, and he gets droned too. It's just the worst. I don't know if you want to.
Oh, there. Yeah, that's yeah, him crossing himself.
He gets it next. And you can watch this yourself. Yeah. I linked to it in the newsletter, but it's horrific.
Well, we just saw it, so
you don't need to go see the second dude.
We did. We just showed it.
I think we stopped. Anyway.
We just showed it. I just pointed out that he was crossing himself. But anyway, James Carden is a journalist who spent plenty of time in Ukraine, knows it very well. He's the author of The Realist Review. He joins us once again here on the show. James, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, I have to say your first appearance on the show, people loved it because they said we need more in-depth analysis of what's happening there. So a lot of people really singing your praises last time you were here on the show. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it because we get caught up in little sound bites and things like that, but your nuanced study of this region is really important. So I want to say that up front. James, I want to get your take on something the Russians have been saying. The head of the Russia's SVR intelligence service warned all of us that the world has now experienced, quote, the most fragile moment for international security since World War II. He says we are entering the most dangerous phase. And he says we certainly see European members of NATO preparing for war with our country. So Zelensky hasn't seen a plan for peace coming from European leaders. It seems like it's because Europe is preparing for a full-blown war with Russia. What say you?
Well, I think he's wrong. I think probably the closest we've come is actually the Cuban Missile Crisis. I think that's probably the more appropriate analogy. I think that the threats coming from Europe are ridiculous. It should be treated with the contempt that they deserve. They have absolutely no ability to do anything without American arms and approval. So really, the ball is in the court of Zelensky and Trump. And hopefully, Mr. Trump will do what he needs to do to end this. And so far, it seems to me that he's been unwilling to go the whole way. He's been trying to placate the two camps within the Republican Party to not much effect. So one hopes that Mr. Trump's instincts prevail, as well as the advice that he's getting from his America First advisors, like Steve Bannon and like Tucker Carlson, and presumably like the vice president. But we'll have to wait and see.
But the appetite for ending this war, the appetite for even discussing it seems to be gone. Nobody has Ukrainian flag in their bio anymore. You know, the world is concentrated on Gaza right now. It seems like there. Why not just do it now when there is not this major appetite to continue to affront against Russia, to continue an affront against Russia? There's like, why not? Who is holding on? Who is holding this together right now?
Well, you must live in a far better place than I do, because I live in Washington and I see the flags all over the place still.
Still, okay.
And I think that
they're like skinny jeans. That's not the cool war.
No, up the street there's a flag. There's a Ukrainian flag flying.
Yes, one idiot in our neighborhood.
Well, one. Well, I would trade that. I think the problem is that for all of the kind of transformative nature of Mr. Trump and his importance as a political figure over the past decade, the fact of the matter is that he's yet to have been able to transform the Republican Party in terms of foreign policy in the way that the party establishment looks at foreign policy. Now, we know that the voters agree with Mr. Trump. They agree with Mr. Trump's America First policy. We know that Republican voters are not on board, by and large, with this war. On the other hand, the Hill is still the Hill. And the fact of the matter is that he is getting a lot of pushback from the Republican old guard, the old guard as personified by people like Mitch McConnell. Mike Johnson has not been a particularly good voice on this. So he has a kind of old line neoconservative Republican establishment on the Hill that he needs to work with to accomplish his other legislative priorities. The other problem, of course, is that he let a lot of neocons into his second administration. Some of us had hoped that he would have learned from the mistakes of his first administration.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And so, you know, the kind of, you know, as we all know, Dick Cheney passed away last night. Well, that kind of strand of Republican thinking is far from dead within the Republican Party. It's very much alive in Washington. And that's what Trump partially kind of has to confront.
Right. I mean, he's in singing the praises of Lindsey Graham, one of his first campaign stuff. Senator Lindsey Graham, a bloodlusting warmonger who would love nothing more than to wipe Vladimir Putin off the face of the earth and showing his support 100%. For Ukraine. So Trump is sending this drone team there next week. It seems to me like, I mean, the Ukrainian army has been decimated. We're entering a very, you know, very cold winter now. Ukrainian soldiers, experts we've had on the show say, like, you've had very few soldiers per kilometer to guard against. Putin just recently, or the Russian army, just surrounded a couple of big key targets that continue to move in. What is the goal with these drones? Why would the Trump administration want to continue to send drones to Ukraine to hit civilians?
It's war on the cheap. Hmm. So it's a way for the Trump administration to say to Zelensky, well, we're supporting you, we're doing something. It's a way to keep the Europeans off our backs. The Europeans have become nearly as bloodthirsty as people like Lindsey Graham. And it's also something that, you know, American presidents have been doing now for quite some time. The master of drone killings is none other than Barack Obama.
Right.
Under the tutelage of his sinister and moronic director of Central Intelligence, John Brennan, you know, Obama would page through kill lists and kill 10 times as many people via drone than George W. Bush ever did. So, you know, what we have at the core of the problem in Washington is this bipartisan bloodlust. And it's something that is a real challenge and is going to take Trump a lot of political capital to overcome.
And it may be a reflection in what you see in this election today. I mean, right, James? I mean, I think so many Americans thought they were signing up for get us out of these foreign entanglements. You're going to end the Ukraine war on day one. You're going to put, you know, peace in Gaza. We're not going to start a new war in Venezuela. We're not going to start a new war in Somalia. We're not going to start a new war in Nigeria, for crying out loud. And Americans are wondering, you know, where the Epstein files are. Where is this America First plan that we were hearing so much about and we're continuing to fund Zelensky? You know, I guess you may see this today. I mean, what's your sense of that in these polls that we're seeing? It looks like it could be a walloping for Trump.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think that that part of the party right now is MIA, and it's partially MIA because Trump has brought into his administration people like Sebastian Gorka, who is very eager to copy the playbook of the Bush-Cheney global war on terror. And Gorka has been pushing for war and intervention all over Africa, all over the Middle East. You know, and you can't transform a policy if you have these unhinged people surrounding you. The president is a very, very busy person, obviously. You know, he's dealing with the shutdown. You know, there's politics. There's all sorts of bills up on the Hill. You need to have a foreign policy team that is like-minded. If not, they're going to use the bureaucracy to work against you. And I'm really worried that what happened during the first term is about to happen in the second term.
Right. No, I think you're right about that. I mean, and by the way, you wrote a great piece on Sebastian Gorka. I encourage people to read it at your website. Do you have another question?
No.
Well, I guess maybe you can give us a 30,000 foot level of what you think the next big move is on Ukraine from the Trump administration, Zelensky. We know that summit got canceled in Budapest. Where do things stand as we head into these freezing cold winter months?
Honestly, I think that the only way that the war ends is if the Russians decide to break through the line of contact. Once that happens, the Ukrainian defenses are going to collapse. And what they've been doing thus far, as we all know from, you know, the reports that we've been getting from people like Colonel McGregor, is the Russians have been waging a war of attrition. They've been steadily killing as many Ukrainian soldiers as they possibly can in order to weaken the front. Once the front is sufficiently weakened, the Russians are going to have to make a decision whether or not to sue for peace at the line of contact or break through further. It seems to me that Zelensky is a hostage in a way to the Ukrainian ultras who started this thing on the Maidan in 2014. He can't sue for peace necessarily because it'll cost him, I believe, it'll cost him his life. So we're not in for any quick fix here. And I think that this thing grinds on at least through the spring, maybe into the summer of next year.
Jeez, who will be left at that point? Unbelievable.
I mean, it's a theft of human life and it's a theft of the American dollar. It's a theft from all of us who sit the European dollar. It's horrible. So thank you for that.
Thank you, James.
Yeah. Maybe not optimistic, but realist. We really appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, that's your name of your website, for crying out loud. The Realist
that's
Review.
Right. The Realist Review on Substack. Thanks.
He's not here to be an optimist or a negative Nancy. He's here to be a realist.
All right. We asked for it.
Thank you, James. We asked for it. Thanks, James. Great to see you.
Okay, coming up, we're going to go through what we know from the Tyler Robinson trial from a lawyer, Andrea Burkhardt. If you're not following her channel, you absolutely should before you run your mouth about things you don't understand. That's where I start anyway, to understand what's going on. So I'm really excited to talk to her for the first time. But before we do that, we want to tell you about Connect Invest, because is your money working for you? Well, investing in real estate has never been easier. Savings accounts and CDs, they always offer low return, as we've said many times. Savers are losers because the American government steals from us. They continue to devalue the U.S. dollar. But now you can invest in tangible things like real estate with short notes, starting with as little as $500, with annualized returns at 9%. Yes, you heard us right. Real estate has been a long proven way to build wealth, but for most, the barriers are too high buying a whole property. Now you can get started with short notes. So you're buying into a fund that's investing in real estate instead of doing everything yourself, fixing toilets, property management, collecting rent, and you get predictable income with annualized returns of up to 9%. So here's how you do it. Go to redacted.inc/invest. Fund your digital wallet with $500 or more and select a short note with the terms that you're comfortable with, 6, 12, or 24 months, and then sit back and earn income through your investment. So right now when you sign up, you get a $50 bonus in your digital wallet, giving you an instant boost. So don't let your money sit in low return accounts. Take advantage and get that $50 bonus offer by going to redacted.inc/invest. One more time, that's redacted.inc/invest. Well, our next guest has been killing it, no pun intended, in the Tyler Robinson trial. He is the young man accused of murdering Charlie Kirk alone out of the love of his trans lover, the government says. Andrea Burkhardt is a licensed attorney and breaks down the noise and nonsense. And she says that this case is full of oddities. She's an experienced criminal defense lawyer, so she would know. If you're not watching her channel, it's at A Burkhardt Law on YouTube. Then I want to invite you to subscribe because she's great. So she is going to help us understand what about this case, what about this prosecution is making our spidey sense tingle. Thank you so much for joining me for the first time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. So can we start with the facts? Because I think I've seen some people saying on, you know, online, he confessed. This is the government case. He has not confessed. And what proof are they putting up? Because when you read the indictment, it kind of reads like gay teen lit. I don't know what we're going with here.
Yeah. So what we have so far in terms of the public information about the facts of the case derives from two documents that have been filed in the prosecution. There's the indictment that you referred to, and there's also a separate probable cause affidavit that both of those set out kind of timelines of the investigation and what investigators discovered, but contain a few different details depending on which one that you're looking at. And so as far as a confession, this narrative, I suppose, is deriving from portions of the probable cause affidavit that indicate that individuals close to Mr. Robinson, family members, friends, reported that he made statements that implied to them that he had committed the crime. And so these statements are not set forth. We don't know specifically what the allegation is. It's kind of a hearsay statement at this point because it's something that's being reported in a document that somebody else heard in some other type of context. So we don't have a whole lot of information yet about exactly what the details of this supposed confession are. Then we have the extracts. They appear to be extracts from what the law enforcement is telling us are communications between Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs. And we can tell that they're extracts, or it appears that they're extracts, because there seem to be ellipses indicating that parts of the text messages have been omitted. So it doesn't appear to be a full picture of a conversation, but it does purport to set out verbatim copies of a conversation that Mr. Twiggs, according to the statement, showed law enforcement on his phone. So at this point, it's not something that, as far as we know, law enforcement had personally obtained. They had not extracted his telephone. They had not obtained these messages from any kind of exchange server. So there's still a lot of questions in the air as far as not just authenticity, how exactly are these messages going to be authenticated to be sure that they are what we're being told that they are, but also what's the greater context here? What has apparently been omitted from those messages, and are we going to have an opportunity to find out?
Oh, that's strange. I didn't realize that they hadn't even taken a file from like an iMessage log. They just say they saw it, like the note they say existed. Gosh, that's weird. And I don't read a lot of murder indictments, so the way that it's written about how the parents recognized him is almost stupid. It's so poorly written. The mom thought the images on TV looked like her son, and the dad agreed. And then the dad also thought that the shooter on TV looked like his son, and the mom agreed. And then later they both thought that they looked like... But is this kind of moronic writing normal for something, or does that also make your spidey sense tingle?
Well, it's not unheard of. And part of the thing to bear in mind with this as well is that this is a very preliminary stage of the investigation that's being reflected in this document. And so in this particular case, like many cases where there is a high profile incident like this and there's not an immediate arrest. So we have some public information that is being released as the manhunt is ongoing, as a search and the effort to solve the crime is ongoing, but the suspect is not identified until very late in the process. And so often what that means is that these preliminary documents that are filed in the case give you just the bare bones of what led law enforcement to this suspicion of this individual in the first instance. But much of the investigation is only going to take place after that arrest. And so a lot of that is not going to become publicly available unless and until we move to the next stage of the process, which is ordinarily a preliminary hearing in the state of Utah. And that's where the state has to present its evidence to demonstrate that there is probable cause to charge Tyler Robinson with these specific crimes that he's been charged with. So a lot of times in this situation, the type of information that you would expect to get after the arrest and not necessarily be contained in these preliminary documents would be things like cell phone extractions, subpoenas to cloud servers, to Discord servers, other potential sources of online communications, to cell carriers. A lot of that type of information is often only obtained after the suspect has been identified. And just because of the nature of this crime, the arrest is the first priority. So there is a lot of open holes, I think, and questions that I certainly have about the information that's been provided so far. But I recognize that this is still a very preliminary point of the process. And so the real test of the state's case, I think, is going to come when we get to this preliminary hearing stage and see it's put up or shut up time. What are you able to bring to the table to prove that you have the goods on this crime?
Right. And is it unusual that reporters are saying that Robinson did not choose his defense? We've had reporters saying they had a ton of lawyers who wanted to represent him because they didn't believe the official story, and they were told the state would be choosing his defense. That seems strange that they can choose their opponent. Is that normal?
Well, so the way that it works is because he is found, he's been found to be indigent by the state of Utah, meaning he lacks the resources to hire his own attorney. So he's entitled to a public defender. And given that this is a capital case, Utah is one of many states that has certain minimum qualifications for public defenders who are going to represent folks in charged with capital crimes. So that's what ultimately led to the referral of his case to a commission that is essentially a defense commission that was entrusted with the responsibility of looking for a qualified Utah attorney to be able to serve as lead counsel in his case. And that is how Ms. Nestor, his primary attorney, was ultimately identified and appointed. Subsequently, there have been a couple other attorneys as well, two from the state of California and one other from the state of Utah that have also appeared in Mr. Robinson's case. So it does appear that he's managed to acquire a pretty high level and qualified defense team, notwithstanding the fact that perhaps they're not the ones that he would have chosen. They're not the ones, he's not paying for them. It is going to be, he's going to be defended at taxpayer expense.
Interesting. And it was you who flagged for me, because I subscribe to your Substack, that the judge is also really new. He was only appointed mm-hmm. in May. So that's yes. also something worth considering. Now, you point out the gag order is exceptional for many reasons, one of which is that the media is not questioning this case. So who yes. is it gagging, do you think? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, this gag order is quite peculiar. It's kind of becoming commonplace in these high profile trials for gag orders like this to be handed down. The courts are trying to prevent the parties from litigating the case in the court of public opinion. They want people to hold their cards close until it's trial time so that they don't risk potential jurors learning too much about the case and perhaps forming opinions about it before we're at the point of trial. So these gag orders are becoming commonplace, but the problem with them is that there are some First Amendment considerations that are pretty significant at stake anytime an order like this is issued. There's kind of some different standards that apply depending on who you are talking about gagging. Based on the U.S. Supreme Court authority, it seems to be pretty well understood that you can't tell the press not to report information. If they hear it in open court or if they generate it through their own independent leads, the press has the right to report it. On the other end of the spectrum, the attorneys in particular are officers of the court. We have ethical responsibilities and duties that we have to follow. And because of that, our speech can be limited to much greater extent than the speech of the press. But then in the middle, you have all of the other participants, the law enforcement, the witnesses, the family, people who may have some type of information about the case, but aren't necessarily within one of these fairly clear categories of can their speech be regulated or not regulated. And so those types of orders generally are disfavored, but they may be allowed under some circumstances. There's just a very strict standard that has to be met for that type of restriction on one of our fundamental freedoms to be justified. So what's peculiar about the order in this particular case is that it's not necessarily that clear who it does apply to. If you read the order strictly, you look at the language and you just go by a very strict interpretation of what it says, it only applies to the lawyers in the case. But it's written in such a way to imply that the lawyers are responsible if law enforcement or witnesses or any other investigators, individuals involved in the case, if they were to make public statements about the case, that somehow those might be attributed to the lawyer could be at fault, perhaps there'd be a sanction to the witness. It's all quite unclear. And the problem with that is that one of the hallmark rules of the First Amendment in this type of context is that if you're going to restrict somebody's speech, you must be absolutely crystal clear about what's allowed and what isn't, because otherwise you have a chilling effect. You run the risk that people are going to self-censor out of fear that they may run afoul of your order without even knowing it. But as you pointed out, it's a bit strange to me that there has been no pushback, no media attention really hardly at all to this gag order, not just the fact that it exists at all, which you would think would be somewhat offensive to a free press, but certainly the kind of obvious problems with it that so far have gone completely unchallenged.
Yeah, it's strange. We have a commenter in our chat that says, Eagles 262 says, weren't there lawyers that were offered to work for free for Robinson? Did he not have the choice to choose, or because you said they needed this certification to reach this certain level of ability to be to practice law?
Yeah, so this is a good question. When you are requesting or qualifying for a court-appointed attorney, you don't get to choose who that attorney ultimately is. Oh. And so if he had, for example, privately retained an attorney, now whether that was he's paying somebody or somebody is agreeing privately to represent him pro bono, that would take it out of the context of that public defender restriction. You do have a right to choose counsel, to have counsel of your choice under the Sixth Amendment. So I don't know how that ultimately worked out behind the scenes, if that was maybe, you know, I don't know, something that was just never finalized. If he chose to go with the death qualified attorneys that were offered to him from the state, but at any point, if he wants to be privately retained by attorneys who are willing to do so, he has the right to make that change.
Okay, all right. Well, that's interesting. So something happened where he decided not to retain these lawyers who had offered their services, and we don't know what that is. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on and offering your time to break this down for us. Again, you can subscribe to Andrea Burkhardt's Substack, follow her YouTube channel. She's doing a really great job if you want to understand the nuances of this case, and there's many. So nice to see you for the first time. I hope you come back.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right.
She was great.
What do you make of that?
Wow. I'm just sitting here soaking it all in.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But, especially because this case, people run their mouth about things they don't quite understand and like, oh my gosh, this, you know, we didn't get to ask her about cameras in the courtroom. I meant to, I forgot. So maybe we can ask her another time, but yeah,
wait a minute. I think she's still here. Like is Andrea still here? Maybe she's here. Yeah, there she is. All right. Let's get that microphone back over there.
I apologize.
Cameras in the courtroom. Can we do that? What's going to happen?
Yes, absolutely.
Sorry. Well, I forgot.
There has been a little bit of a just a surprise kind of springing on us, a possibility of cameras being removed in the courtroom. And so what happened was there had been a motion that the defense had filed to allow Mr. Robinson to appear in the court in civilian clothing and without visible shackles. And this is grounded in that same idea of wanting to keep the jury pool fair and objective. If you're bombarded with images of Mr. Robinson in, you know, a jail jumpsuit and doing an inmate shuffle, you know, in shackles into the courtroom, you just necessarily kind of associate that with somebody being dangerous and somebody being probably guilty. So that was the context in which the litigation was set. What happened was that apparently the state suggested as a way to mitigate that harm, well, we'll just take the cameras out of the courtroom and then there won't be any images of Mr. Robinson to have to worry about whether he's clothed in a suit or not. And the defense then filed a reply in which they agreed with that. So this only became public a couple of days before the hearing on this motion regarding his civilian clothing, in part because when the state had filed their response, they filed it under seal, meaning it's private. The public never got a chance to see it. So we never learned that they were taking this position until it came up in the defense's reply just a couple days before that hearing. So it went before the judge last Monday. And the judge, to his credit, did not rule on that motion. He did not grant the motion. He recognized that there are public interests in transparency and in court access. Utah in particular has very favorable rules when it comes to allowing court cameras into courtrooms. So what he ultimately ruled was that essentially, if anybody wanted to re-raise the issue down the road, he would require them to file a separate motion to do that. In the meantime, he held that Mr. Robinson is going to be allowed to appear in civilian clothing, but he will remain shackled. And to mitigate that harm, he's ordered that the cameras in the courtroom are not going to be allowed to show his shackles or show him coming into and out of the courtroom. So ultimately, he reached what I think is a pretty fair compromise between the security interests of people in the courtroom and Mr. Robinson's interest in being presented with the presumption of innocence that he still holds at this time.
Okay, got it. That's an excellent explanation. Thank you so much. So it's not worth like, oh, they're trying to keep us out. You know, that's conclusion is not, we don't make that yet. So
it's not yet, but it's you would not be out of line to be concerned that it may come up again. Just because both parties did seem to be in agreement that they wanted that to happen. So there's no voice for the public at this point in time. The court had sort of served as our representative during that hearing. But should it come up in a motion in the future, then it's going to be something that they'll have to consider the interests of the public. And frankly, the legitimacy of the process and the institution. You know, transparency tends to help people appreciate and understand what it is that they're watching. And so the more you do things behind closed doors, the more that people are going to, you know, wonder why you're doing that and wonder if this is legitimate. So this is a very important case. It's a very serious case. And my expectation is that the court is going to recognize that as much transparency as can be allowed under the circumstances is going to be beneficial to that.
Very good. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for coming back. I think I got all my questions, but I might call you again some other time. Thanks again.
Sure thing.
All right, more news to get to here on your Tuesday, on your election Tuesday. Man, it looks like it's going to be a walloping. And by the way, someone in the chat room earlier was like, hey, you know, so this is, you know, about Trump, like election day disasters. It's just for clicks. No. President Trump tweeted that himself, that he thinks that Republicans are going to lose big because Republicans haven't done anything. And it's been a bit of a disaster. So he's admitting that. And we're going to see today what actually happens and how this comes out. If you look at the Kalashi.com numbers right now, has a 93% chance that Mamdani is going to win. An 8% chance in New York specifically that Cuomo will win. I mean, these are the two people we've got. Oh, my gosh. All right. All right. We're going to talk about why one company wants to put over 4,000 giant mirrors in space around the Earth to provide sunlight at night. Yes, you can read all about it. Some are very excited about it, but astronomers are pissed. A lot of people are upset about it. What is this going to do to the Earth, for crying out loud, trying to bring more solar power to solar panels while we sleep? We're going to talk about that in a second. It's crazy. But first, you've heard of Big Pharma, but have you heard of Big Ag? Do you know that 85% of meat is controlled by just four major companies? Most pork comes from China. And just because you buy American doesn't mean you're buying healthy. Buying organic only means they control what the cattle eat, not how they live. But Backyard Butchers, Texas Steer Steaks, come directly from a real Texas ranch, where cattle are raised, processed, shipped from the same location, completely bypassing Big Ag. These Texas steers are 98% grass-fed, 2% natural grain finished, with no growth hormones, no antibiotics, no preservatives. The quality and flavor are off the charts exceptional. Absolutely delicious. Making America healthy again starts with going back to our roots, eating real meat from hardworking ranchers who raise cattle correctly and right in the United States of America. So go to backyardbutchers.com/redacted. Enter the promo code redacted for up to 30% off. Plus, you get two free 10-ounce ribeyes and free shipping when you subscribe. We made some ribeyes from there the other night. They were absolutely delicious. And then I had enough left over that I made it in our steak and eggs and breakfast the next morning.
It was very exciting.
It was very delicious. A little garlic, a little butter. Oh, so good. Fight back against Big Ag with your fork. Support American ranchers. Support Texas. Go to backyardbutchers.com/redacted and put in that promo code redacted to get 30% off. Plus, you'll get two free ribeyes, two free 10-ounce ribeyes, and free shipping when you subscribe. So our thanks to them. Well, imagine looking up at the night sky. Instead of stars, what do you see? You see a fleet of artificial mirrors, giant, massive, massive mirrors hurtling overhead, redirecting sunlight back down to Earth so it would be sunny at nighttime. That scenario isn't science fiction anymore. We know we've heard talks of like dimming the sun, but what about amplifying it? Sunlight on demand, as they say on their website. This is a company called Reflect Orbital. It's proposing to launch some 4,000 massive space mirrors. This is what it would look like in cartoon form. And it would beam solar power back to the Earth. These mirrors would then redirect sunlight back to Earth hitting solar panels. But astronomers are warning that from an astronomical perspective, it's pretty catastrophic. Reflect Orbital claims on its website that its constellation will enable solar power generation at night. It'll make crops grow better and stronger, possibly replace urban lighting. No more street lights at night. Just have giant mirrors in the sky. Provide emergency illumination in disaster zones. Enable people to work at nighttime. Reflect Orbital's spokesperson told Space.com in an email that by 2030, the company envisions a constellation of 4,000 of these satellites around the world. So what could go wrong? Chris Lato is a F-16 pilot, a material scientist, UFO and space researcher, and he joins me now to talk all about this. Chris, great to see you here. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Clayton. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So when you first heard about this story, what was your initial response?
My initial response is, you know, are we putting lasers in space? You know, are we putting weapons in space? But yeah, looking into it more, I think it's actually really interesting. You know, I think high latitude places like Alaska could really benefit hugely from this sort of technology. These mirrors could extend daylight and really boost solar energy output pretty much around the globe, especially in areas like Alaska. I lived there for 4 years and they could definitely use it. You can stare at the sun at noontime in the winter. So I definitely could have used some sunlight then. They could also use this to provide lighting for remote or possibly military operations. I think that's why the U.S. Air Force, or at least one reason why it's interested. So anywhere you need illumination, it puts out basically four times the light, they say, allegedly four times the light of a full moon. And it was basically a full moon out tonight.
Yeah,
and so, you know, you could see pretty clearly with four times the light. But I think really why the Air Force is, you know, invested at least small amount, $1.25 million. So It's not a large amount of money that the Air Force has invested, but it's probably in laser optical communication. So laser internet, essentially. I think that's why they're doing it. You need precision control. And, you know, using radio waves can really be intercepted easily. I was an electronic attack officer for the aggressors, actually, in Alaska. And, you know, it's wide field. Anyone can intercept your radio transmission, or it's hard to get a really tight band. But if you can shoot a laser now and use that as your optical communication, then it's much more secure. And so I think they're actually interested in this for some sort of laser internet.
So your initial thought was, oh, they're going to be using this for some weapons, and it's under the it's under the auspices of giving us more power, you know. But underneath it all, there's a darker story here. That was your initial thought about this. Makes sense.
Yeah, that was my initial thought. I think, you know, I guess most people would think that for putting mirrors in space, you're beaming sunlight down. But it's actually the physics of it is doesn't make any sense. You know, it's 700 kilometers away. And you can't really even beam that amount of energy. You can't really focus it down. So it's not like you're burning an ant, you know, with a magnifying glass. This is much further away, 700 kilometers. And so I don't think they're going to be able to focus that energy down to even, you know, heat up a missile. That's what the airborne missile defense system was. If you remember that big 747 the Air Force had years ago, and it was a big iodine laser, and that was actually used to shoot ballistic missiles. And, you know, as their boost in their boost phase, they would actually shoot the laser. The idea was to shoot the laser at the booster while it's launching, and then it would warp it essentially, and the missile would fail. So I don't even think they could do that using this sort of technology. I really think it is to provide illumination, and like I said before, is precision optical aiming. You know, really are you able to bounce lasers? You know, they did have the Star Wars idea, the program in the past. If you could shoot a giant laser from the Earth, then you could bounce it off a mirror in space, and then you could have some sort of advanced laser system. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of their ideas for using this technology. But I think it would be much more useful for logistics rather than some sort of weapon system.
I talked to an insider today who is pretty plugged in this regard. And I was asking this person, what do they make of this? And I want to get your take on this. This person said the civilian application doesn't seem that compelling, although it might be profitable, that it may have unknown military applications that would be the real purpose of getting so many up there in space. So yes, an unknown military application seems like it might make the most sense. Although they're couching it like this would be great for our crops, like this will be great for your corn and all of that. So we'd have a little extra sunlight. It'll make our crops sturdier. I hadn't thought about the military side of this for sure.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the most aggressive form of it would be you bounce a giant laser from the ground, right? Putting that sort of power into space doesn't make sense if you're going to use it as a mirror. So I guess, you know, theoretically you could shoot a giant laser from the ground and bounce it around and then hit a target on the ground, you know, on the other side of the Earth, if you will. But that sort of technology, you know, satellites are very predictable. In order for them not to be predictable, it's very expensive. So I think it'll actually be more a communication system or advancing the technology for the Air Force and the Space Force. And right now, it's expensive to send satellites into space, right? But we have big breakthroughs coming through. I know people don't like to talk about them, but Elon Musk and his SpaceX program, you know, the Starship, if it actually is able to get to orbit and land, you know, a reusable rocket ship, then instead of this satellite costing $20 million to get up to orbit, you know, this mirror, it could cost $10,000 to $20,000. And in that case, what we could see in the next 10 years is a plethora, really a gold rush of space. So using space for these sort of civilian assets where it won't be ridiculously expensive to send mirrors up into space. It would actually make financial sense. And then in that case, you can actually beam down sunlight, you know, in the later parts of the day when everyone gets home and when we really need the energy, you know, your renewable resources. Right now, your batteries haven't come on board yet. They're not quite that cheap. So this could actually supplement. And I could see it actually being commercially viable where you could actually beam down sunlight from, you know, 7 to 8 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m., and actually get usable sunlight energy. So
yeah,
the question is, what will it do to the night sky?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this idea. It seems strange to me because we had solar panels, and we're about to do them again, actually. But you could tell, I mean, if a cloud moved in front of those, your solar panels, we lived in Portugal, like you, and I think we had like 30 or something solar panels and ran our house, ran our studio and everything. But if a cloud moved in front or just got a little bit dim, you could immediately see it in the system, like, poof. So I only imagine like having a mirror in space using sunlight at that far out to direct it down, how much you know power you would actually get on solar panels. It'd be, I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying that part of it. It sounds like an interesting idea. I just don't know. I don't know. Plus, you'd have to get blackout shades because it'd always be light. I mean, I wonder why the astronomers are so pissed off about this. What's your sense of why astronomers would say this could be a catastrophe?
Yeah, they've been upset since Starlink started launching so many satellites. You know, you just go outside and look up and you'll probably see a Starlink satellite. And my channel's focused on, you know, UAP investigation, and I constantly get videos of people that say, hey, I saw a UFO, I videoed it, and, you know, I look at the video and it's a Starlink satellite. And even on, there's optical illusions from Starlink satellites. So there's thousands of them now, I believe over 10,000 even. And so astronomers are angry because it gets in the way. It gets in the way of their ground telescopes, and it, you know, clogs up the night sky. So I think that's what they're really upset about. But I think it's just the future. You know, as soon as we lower the cost to space, there's going to be probably millions of satellites up there for all different types of purposes. So it's just the future we're going to have to deal with. And as far as astronomy, it's going to be that much cheaper now to put up telescopes into space. And actually, a telescope in space is much more capable. Just like a laser, you don't have to deal with the atmosphere. The atmosphere, like you just mentioned there, the clouds, huge factor, right? Your power generation on your solar panel. Well, the telescopes have to deal with that as well. So anytime a cloud comes over a telescope on the ground, they're totally out of it. You know, they can't see anything. It doesn't matter how many satellites in the sky. So the future of astronomy is also in the space. So they're going to put the telescopes into space. So I understand why they're upset. But I think, yeah, it's just going to be the future that we're going to have is going to be space industry, and the telescopes are going to be up in space.
We won't get to see any of the images. They'll keep them hidden from us. We want to look at the moon base. We want to look at the multiple moon bases. We want to see UAPs. We want to get a close-up of 3-eye Atlas. Now, they'll shut those telescopes down for a few hours so we don't get those images. But I'm with you. I would love to see all these. I would love to see space-based telescopes that we could access and review on a regular basis. And then all of us who are obsessed with this topic could be sitting for hours going through footage to examine UAPs and everything else that is up there.
Well, I'm optimistic that we can get our own telescopes up there. Like, you know, we're not on mainstream network right now. This is decentralized networks right here. You know, I'm not censoring myself, at least. I'm not being censored by anyone. I suspect the same for you. So hopefully in the future, we can get our own telescopes up that we know are not being censored by any government agency or organization. I'm sure they don't want to hear me say that, but I really see that as the future. As the costs come down, you just can't keep reality classified.
Oh, I would love that. I would love to have the Leto Files telescope working side by side with the redacted telescope in space.
Amazing.
Where we would have our own decentralized network and no one can censor us. I would love that. I would love it. Chris, great to see you.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much for this. And you made me a little bit more optimistic about this. I was, you know, initially a little worried about it, but I think you've opened my eyes, especially on the Alaska perspective. But we'll see. We'll see what sort of nefarious military applications they're hiding here. Chris, great to see you. Thank you so much. Thanks for staying up late for us there in Portugal. I know it's late.
Yeah, thanks, Clayton. And yeah, happy you were here in Portugal. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right. Another Portugal.
It reminds me of the Department Q, you know?
Yeah.
If you read the book that is based off of, they keep the lights on for a whole year when they keep her in this chamber.
Yeah.
So they will do this alternating torture where they keep the lights on for a whole year and then they turn them off for a whole year. It's horrible. So if there's anything like that the U.S. government can do to me, you know,
right,
as a torturer, I'm not here for that.
The lights on nonstop.
It sounds like, what I was thinking was like, it sounds like a precursor to a Dyson sphere. And so it's like an interesting concept. I don't know how effective it would be, but
what's a Dyson sphere?
A Dyson sphere is basically a structure around a star. So in our case, it would be the sun. Like if you actually built a structure around the sun to harness the majority of, if not all of the energy coming off of the sun.
Mm.
So you'd literally build a structure around it that would capture energy.
Okay.
You want to do that?
No. I don't know enough about it and I don't want to.
So funny. Natalie's like very, she can be very grounded, like in spreadsheets and like lawyerly things.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to talking about aliens or talking about stuff that's going on in space, she's like, okay, I got to go make dinner now for the kids.
I read those books when we were courting. We're married now. I don't have to pretend that I'm interested in the same things you are.
I made her read all these like fun books about aliens when we were.
Who is that dude who kept waking up in like women's pajamas?
Oh, are you talking about Stan Romanek?
Yes. Or, oh, was it him? He was always, I read his whole book about, but that's just, you know, again, people do weird things when they're courting, you know.
That's right.
So.
That's true. men will do crazy stuff. For sure. Okay, hey, we're going to take some of your super chats here in a second. But first, microplastics infiltrating every part of our lives. Scientists estimate we can now consume a credit card's worth of plastic every single week through our food, water, even the air we breathe. One study found plastic particles in 100% of human lung samples. Nobody is safe from exposure. It gets worse. These plastics don't just sit in our body. They cross the gut lining, leach into your blood. But there's good news. New research on kimchi. That's right, kimchi can actually remove it from your body. Gets rid of BPA, phthalates, all of that stuff from your body. Kimchi One from Bright Core Nutrition does all of that in a pill form, so in a supplement form. Like if you don't like the taste of kimchi, like eating fermented cabbage or those other things like with your meal, some people don't like the taste. Well, that's great. Now you get all the benefits of kimchi in supplement form. It's a potent ally in this toxic world. It's packed with over 900 probiotic strains unique to kimchi and proven to break down BPA, help you detox from the inside out. It doesn't just support digestion. It helps protect your cells, your brain, your hormones, your future. Your body was never designed to handle plastic, but your gut was designed to protect you. You just have to give it the right tools. Right now, you can get 25% off with our code REDACTED. Just go to the link below. It's mybrightcore.com/redacted to get 25% off. But even better, if you call them, they're an American company. They want to talk with you and develop a relationship. Imagine that. It's like going back to the 1950s when you would actually talk to a company. They'll give you 50% off if you call them. 50 instead of 25% off. Just call them. 888-404-6312. Get 50% off and free shipping. So our thanks to Brightcore for supporting the show. All right, let's see what kind of stuff we got going on over here in the chat room and what kind of stuff is happening over here. Did you see anything come through you want to talk about?
No, we have a lot of pro-Israel bots today. Just saying things. Just like,
well, anytime we put Israel in the title,
that's annoying. That's a bit no substantive, like Israel is not raping people. No one's saying that.
No, they've got big bots. They have big bot farms in Israel, and it's called, you know, those Hasbara monkeys, and
why are they bothering with us? I wonder.
Like, I don't know. Anytime you put it, they just do it all over social media. Cause anytime you put it in the title of your YouTube video, mm-hmm. you know, like they will go after you. So they watch that stuff and they will just flood it. They've got a whole team. I mean, that's where our American tax dollars go. It goes to Israel so that they can attack people on social media. It's unbelievable. The same thing with what the CIA was of doing, as well. And, in Ukraine.
Mm.
And of course, when anybody was criticizing the war in Ukraine in the first few months of that war, man, the bots were incredibly strong, and the amount of money that the CIA was spending, that got exposed, by the way.
Yeah.
Those CIA bot farms were exposed. So this is all part of an operation.
This is not our first.
It's not our first interview.
A really good documentary is Ukraine on Fire. It shows how they go into these, and it showed how they did it in Ukraine. They go in and start these, like, peace organizations that are, you know, labeled peace or whatever. And it's just 100% propaganda and kind of the same thing as bot farms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's the Oliver North, or not Oliver North.
Oliver Stone. Yeah.
Oliver Stone documentary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, well.
Oh, and you can find that documentary on Rumble, by the way, if you want to watch it. It's a good documentary.
Cool.
Brad Gilbert in our chat says $2 super chat. Presumed innocent. He's absolutely innocent, referring to Tyler Robinson. Well, he's innocent until proven guilty, right?
Yes.
Disco Death Star. Brad Gilbert says from Climate Con 2, Vader's giant disco Death Star.
Right. Stay Gray 11 says, hey, what happened to the war reporter that was embedded with the Russians that used to be on the show? That is
Patrick Lancaster. As far as I know, he's fine. I don't know. I know he took some time off and then he was spending time with the family. I don't know. We haven't had him on lately. And I don't know exactly what, I think the last time we were communicating, he had just done Tucker's show a number of months ago.
Oh, that's right.
So Tucker had him on as well. But yeah, he's a fearless reporter. Sneaky Fox says government change, but the lies stay the same. That's true. Mm-hmm. Harry Dunn, thank you. He's been a member for 10 months. He's been a Redacted Rebel. Says, I love Redacted so much. Best community on YouTube. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm glad. I didn't mean to call you all bots. I see those of you who are, and I can tell those of you who aren't. And you guys get around them really well. So thank you so much for doing that. And
no. Most people in our chat room are real people. But yep. Then you get... If you just see the generic comment, all they do is they read the title of our YouTube episode or our live stream, and we mentioned Israel in the live stream title, and then you'll get flooded with bots. It's mm-hmm. hilarious. Like if we don't mention it in the title, we don't get hit with as many bots. But it's important to cover the story, so we put it in the title for today's show.
I saw one comment saying she is annoying. I think they meant me because I'm the only she around here.
I mean, could have meant me. Like they can't see me, so they could assume maybe.
Yeah.
We had a female guest on the show.
Oh, this was way before she had joined. I'm pretty sure this was me. But
sometimes the people watch the show later, and so they're like they're watching us live right now. But
no,
they're
this
watching...
was before she joined. It was not possible to call her annoying before she came. I'm pretty sure that was just to me. So thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. Some people could have a fast forward function and watch the show before we get there. We don't know.
Possibly.
That's what I do.
I'm keeping that. You want to call me annoying? I'm gonna hold on to that. And I'll get you later.
The Snake Tango in our chat room says, we know the bots. Yeah. I mean, they're so obvious. I mean, it's so, you know, like anytime you just see someone just say this, they'll just type like a few sentences. They don't say anything substantive at all. They just post like all Israeli flags, or they'll just say like unsubbing,
yeah.
Or they'll say Jew hate, or this show is anti-Semitic, or this, you know, something like Qatar propaganda. Like it's uneducated comments are usually the ones that are bots. It's pretty clear what those are.
I don't think a bot found me annoying. That was probably legit. But
would like you.
I will say, sometimes I drive my kids to their lessons after school, and I like to tell them some of the more heinous comments that I got in the chat, and we have a laugh about it. So it does not hurt my feelings. I think it teaches them resilience. That's fine. Say what you want.
We should do like Thursday mean comments section.
I love it. I absolutely would do it.
How about this one? Women, say this one too, when you're taking the girls to dance tonight. Say, here's one from Joe that says, women can be annoying. That's pretty much their job.
Okay.
Just tell that to
the kids.
That's
fine. Doesn't hurt my feelings.
Speaking truth. Natalie is a sweetheart, Listelle says. Mad Dog says Natalie is not irritating at all.
You guys are not giving me any fodder. Come on, you got to come at me, bro. I got to have something to talk with my teenagers
about. Our favorite one from back in the day was...
Oh, I'm going to quote it verbatim. I screenshot it. Hey, C-word. Your forehead is really greasy. Don't you have any pride? Because I didn't put powder on my forehead. And then that same person went to Clayton's ex account and said, just watch your wife on Twitch. She has a really greasy forehead. How can you stand it?
Wow.
That was my favorite.
I'll pat it down later. I don't know. I guess didn't wear any powder on camera. eBay tearjerker said eBay accused me of being a bot. All right. Buffalo J says Clayton seems pissed. No, I'm not pissed at all. I'm happy.
Natalie smells of elderberries.
Okay. That's true. Chris Leto is on. Yes, 5 stars for Chris. Mystic Wolf says, bro, some people just shouldn't insult people. No, and you know this person who is complaining about your forehead is probably some, you know, piece of garbage loser, right?
Yeah, who cares?
Like, do you think that that person, just for a second, do you think that the person who left a YouTube comment criticizing you and insulting you is like an entrepreneur that has like $100 million business? Of course not. The person probably lives in his mom's basement, is a loser, and has nothing going on in his life. So they want to bring, he wants to bring you down to his level.
Yeah. That's, and I'm not great at professional makeup. So I'm like, okay, I can do that better. I guess it doesn't make me feel like a terrible person or ruin my day at all. So
someone wants to know why the camera is shaking.
It did seem like he was shaking for a second. I think the dog ran by.
The dog hit the camera.
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry about that.
Oh, someone says that you're a whiner. She's a whiner.
Mm. Okay.
Okay, that's a good insult. Keep it coming.
How about some for him?
Someone said, hey, Clayton's got guns. I do have guns. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
No, I am not a practicing Wiccan. I'm not.
It's funny. I have a running gag with my daughter. I'm just like, she'll be sitting there. She does a lot of like digital art, and she'll just be sitting there quietly, like doing art. And I'll be like, hey, you need to calm down. You're acting hysterical. And there's just like, just do like a lot of like faux, like misogyny like that. And it's pretty funny. So she'll do it too. Like if we're watching a movie and it's just like, there can be like just a female character just acting perfectly normal. And she's like, man, she really needs to calm down. She's acting hysterical. So
I love it.
Someone in the chat says Clayton's forehead is, I find Clayton's forehead disturbing. There we go. compared to Clay, King Kush says Clay's makeup is dry. Here's a little hint. I don't wear any makeup. I don't wear any makeup.
You know, a lot of people, I mean, you also get good compliments. Like you both have great mouths. Remember that one?
Oh yeah. That was a good one.
You know, what's funny. You know what I like about Tucker doing his show when I went to go do his show, like, I hated it when we worked at Fox together because they would put us on makeup. But when I got to go and do his show, like he doesn't put any makeup on at all. And like his producers like didn't even add, they're like, they don't even like ask. And I was like, I'm not putting on makeup. Like it was just like two guys talking.
But you know, both
like,
had greasy foreheads.
And then we both had probably greasy foreheads. So that's right, probably.
All right, we're going to leave it there. It's taco night. We got to go. We will see you here tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. See you then.
Some guy says we miss you guys. We need to do more live shows. We're live right now. I know.
You're here. It happened.
Someone says Clayton is ashy. I got ash. I got ash.
I'm enjoying this too much.
Your teeth are glowing. Teeth are glowing.
That's watch Dr. Phillips on our show. The truth about the dentist that the dentist doesn't want you to hear.
Someone says I have a JD Vance eyeliner. No, I just have like long eyelashes.
It doesn't look like you have any eyeliner on. I have tattooed eyeliner. If that's what we're doing. Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Thanks so much from the Qatari Propaganda News Center.
The Greasy Forehead Club.
From the Greasy Forehead Club.
Peace out.
Bye, everyone.